Hi, this is Randy Hunter, author of Complete Jazz Styles Etude and Duet Series for Wind Instruments. In this session, I'd like to work with you on stylistic interpretation of The Funky Melon. It's a selection from Introductory Etudes Book 1 from the Complete Jazz Styles series. In preparation for this lesson, go ahead and download the PDF for your particular instrument and listen to the saxophone demonstration that's provided with the lesson. You may also wish to visit my website, www.randyhunterjazz, if you're a trumpet or trombone player or flute player, and listen to the demonstration for your specific instrument found on the free downloads page. If you do choose to listen to these different versions, you may notice some variation in interpretation as we go on. That's quite normal because jazz is a very interpretive music, so one player may interpret a phrase a little bit differently than another player. That doesn't mean either one is right or wrong. It just means that you have different personalities speaking through the various instruments. So as we get ready to move ahead, go ahead and get your axe out. Make sure you've got your download in front of you and also have a pencil in hand because we're going to add some phrase markings as we move ahead. Okay, so here we go. Take a look at your download and you'll notice a number of accent and articulation markings, including legato tones, which are played smooth and connected, staccato notes, which are played short with relatively little emphasis, and marcato accents, which I'll often refer to as housetops, and they're played short, loud, and tongued. You'll also notice some slanted accents, which should be performed legato and may or may not be tongued. Listen as I play the first line, and you'll hear demonstrations of each of these types of articulation and accent markings. If you were really observant, you may have also noticed that the last note in bar 4, the F concert, was played with a legato accent, a slanted accent. So if you've got your pencil, go ahead and note that in. Now, I'm going to play the next line, bars 5 through 8 from your download, and I want you to have your pencil ready and see if you can mark the legato, housetop, and any other accents that you may notice. Back the track up and listen to it a couple more times if you need to, but I think as we move ahead, you'll get pretty quick at recognizing the different accents. Now, what I've got in bar 5 looks very much like bar 1, legato, housetop, housetop. Bar 6 looks very much like bar 2, similar markings, legato, housetop. Bar 7, we've got the legato and the housetop written on the first two and the legato written on the eighth note there. But the subsequent eighth note, the B-flat concert, I've got a legato followed by a staccato. Now on the long tone, the F, it's got an accent written above it, but let's do more than that. What I did when I played it for you a moment ago was a forte piano, which means I hit it loud and got soft, followed by a crescendo. This keeps the note moving. You know, it keeps stuff happening on that note so that it doesn't get long and boring. So I'm going to go ahead and play bars 9 through 12 for you, and at this point, in addition to the accents that we've already talked about, I want you to listen for slurs. So again, if you need to listen to it a couple of times, go ahead. You'll get better at it as you move along. Let's compare markings. In bar 9, we've got the legato marked on beat 1, but I've got a slur marked on from beats 2 through the downbeat of 3 over those eighth notes, followed by a marcato or housetop accent. In bar 10, we've got the housetop, but on the long tone, on the F concert, I did a forte piano with a crescendo. That leads us into the next phrase in bar 11. And in bar 11, we've got a slur. I've got a slur marked on my part anyway from beats 2 through the downbeat of 3, very much like in bar 9, and it's followed by a housetop on the G concert. Bar 12, we've got the downbeat accent, but I've got a staccato following that on the upbeat 8th note, followed by a legato downbeat. Remember, the staccato is a short note that receives little or no accent. Let's move ahead now to bars 13 through 16. Okay, you've got the articulation marked in bar 13. Legato accent, staccato, legato accent, staccato. Bar 14, the first tone, however, I've played it pretty short and loud, so let's give it a housetop accent, followed by a forte piano and crescendo on the long tone. The articulation is already marked for you on bars 15 and 16, but in bar 16, notice how the staccatos really help to bring out that accent on the and of two. On the long tone, and again on that note, let's make it an accent, but let's make it a forte piano accent with a crescendo. At this point, let's go back and recap everything we've done. Let's play together from the beginning through bar 16. I'll give a count off, and you play with me. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. You may occasionally notice contradictions in jazz phrasing. For example, the eighth notes in bar 7 look very much like the eighth notes in bar 16, but the legato and staccatos are applied a little bit differently. That's just part of the interpretive nature of jazz phrasing. Get your pencil ready and let's move ahead through bars 17 through 20. I'll play these measures, you mark in the articulation, then we'll go back through and double check things. Okay, double check yours and see if you came up with what I've got. Bar 17, most of our articulation is already marked, but I added a staccato on the downbeat of 4 on the B-flat concert 8th note. Bar 18, I added a couple of legatos on the 8th notes found on beat 2. Bar 19, we started off with a legato 8th note followed by a housetop 8th note on the F concerts. Then the downbeat of 3 is a big honking housetop accent. Bar 20, I slurred the 8th notes and applied an accent to the upbeat. Moving ahead at bar 21, let's apply a different strategy. Pause the track, take your pencil, and add all the articulation and accent markings that you can find between bars 21 and 24. After you've added your markings, restart the track and listen to see if your markings are consistent with the ones that I play. Okay, if your markings are consistent with mine, I think you'll find that in bar 22, we start out with a series of legato and staccato eighth notes. This pattern continues in bar 23 on beats 2 and 3. And then on the and of 4 in bar 23, the C concert should have a forte piano followed by a crescendo, and at the very end of that note, it decrescendos, since that note is at the end of the phrase and doesn't lead into the next phrase. If your markings aren't exactly consistent with mine, that may be okay, because remember, a lot of interpretation depends on the player's own instrumental personality. So, as long as what you come up with is convincing musically, then that's cool. Let's go ahead and apply the same strategy through the next four bars, bars 25 through 28. Pause the track, make your anticipated articulation and accent markings, and we'll compare notes in a moment. On my part, on bar 25, I've added a forte piano on the end of 2 with a crescendo leading into bar 26. The same thing in bar 26, the end of 2, I've applied a forte piano with a crescendo leading into bar 27. And then on beat 2, a slur begins that slurs from the downbeat of beat 2 through the downbeat of beat 3, followed by a marcato or housetop accent on the end of beat 3. Bar 28, I've got accents on the downbeats of 1 and 2, and each of those downbeats are slurred to the upbeat. At this point, go ahead and pause the track and mark your anticipated articulations for bars 29 through 32, and then listen back to it, and we'll compare notes at that point. Okay, in bar 29, I've got a legato and some slurs on the eighth notes leading to the upbeat with a marcato accent on it. Bar 30, I've got a slur from the downbeat of 1 to the downbeat of 2, followed by a staccato note and a slur leading into the next measure. And, of course, there's a crescendo on the long tone, but if you'll listen to bar 30, you'll notice that as the line descends, the volume decrescendos as well. That adds to the overall effectiveness of the line. So you want to use what we call line dynamics often to accentuate the direction of the line. If a line descends, often the line will decrescendo. If it ascends, you can crescendo with it. Bar 32, we've got a decrescendo on that B because the following phrase actually begins on beat 3. So that A concert, the half note in bar 32, is the end of the phrase. So we'll decrescendo there rather than crescendoing into the next phrase. Now, I'm going to play this same line a couple of different ways for you at this point, just to show you that there's more than one way a line can be effectively interpreted. And remember, if your markings didn't exactly match mine, that's okay, because if they're effective, that's cool. Here's one variation on that same phrase. Now, that sounded pretty similar to the previous example, but if you listen closely, you'll find that the staccatos and even the crescendos and decrescendos are placed slightly differently. So at this point, you should be starting to get a pretty good feel of what to do with these various stylistic elements, including the staccatos, the legatos, the housetops, the slanted accents, slurs, dynamics, forte pianos, those sorts of things. So why don't you pause the track and begin with beat 3 of bar 32 and work down to the end of that chorus at the end of measure 48. Play it several times. You don't need to make any markings. Just play through it and see if you can start to get a good feel for it. Then turn the track back on and we'll play it together a couple of times. All right, here we go. We'll start on beat 3. I'll give us a count off. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Okay, at this point, it'd probably be a good idea to back the track up and play through that chorus 2 or 3 times, or as many times as necessary, to really start to get a good feel for the chorus. Once you've got that chorus down and feel like you're playing it convincingly, pause the track again and work through the next chorus, bars 49 through 64, with the same objective. Play through it and see if you can locate places to put housetop-type accents, staccato-type accents, even line dynamics apply in this phrase. When you're ready, turn the track back on, and I'll count us off, and we'll play that chorus together. Okay, here we go. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. this point, we've worked through each section of the Funky Melon, concentrating on articulation and phrasing. Now you might want to put on the demonstration track and try practicing along. You should be in good shape to do a convincing performance. This concludes our lesson on stylistic interpretation of the Funky Melon. Please visit my website, www.randyhunterjazz.com. I'd love to have any comments or feedback that you have, so send me an email if you'd like. That's randy@randyhunterjazz.com. Keep your eye out for future lessons, and you may also want to check out the Blues by the Step lesson that's available at the website. Also, keep your eye out for my books, the Complete Jazz Style series of educational etudes and duets. This is Randy Hunter. Take care.